Welcome to Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stephen. It's great to have you join us. If you had a medical degree, you think you would be set for life, right? Well, maybe not. Incredibly, two-thirds of orthopaedic surgeons retire on not enough money. And today, leading surgeon associate professor Nigel Hope tells us why most high-level professionals aren't financially literate. We also catch up with renowned trading educator Colin Nicholson and conference coordinator Donna Meadows at this year's Australian Investors Association conference. We also have trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week ending 15th of August with economist and Sky Business News commentator Jonathan Barrett. Morning, Jono.
Morning, Caroline.
How did equities markets close in New York?
Well, equity markets actually closed down. The Dow closed down about 50 points. And it looked like a negative close, but surprisingly, the market has opened up early this morning on the futures, actually reversing that and actually up 60 points. So there's been a lot of thinking over the weekend about positioning, and it seems to be the market now really wants to start to trade back up again.
So how's that going to affect the Australian market?
Well, I think it all comes down to a symposium in Jackson Hole. It's an economic symposium where all the economic leaders from around the world get together. And Janet Yellen, the Fed governor, she'll be speaking there. And the interesting thing has been that everyone's starting to review how the economies are actually going. So this symposium is going to be very important because what we're seeing is Europe starting to slow down, Chinese data not doing as well as it should do, but the US still going okay. And this implies that bond yields will remain very low, which will also give us this clue that stimulation in the economy will be here for longer. And that's why I think the equity markets in the future session will close higher, which should trade onto Australian markets, and the Australian market should also trade steady, but absolutely see that put on a few more points.
Interesting.
Very much so. Very much so. It's a big topic because we felt that quarter two was going to be more growth globally, but that's not the case. Chinese data last week was soft. European data has been soft for some time, particularly in Germany, and confidence sort of starting to erode. So this sort of suggests that the trades we've had on for quite some time over the last couple of years probably are still in play, which could actually see the Dow trade back through to 17,000.
And the Australian market?
Well, I think the Australian market can continue. It's been steady and it's had some good gains. So if anything there, I think it probably heads back, puts on another 30, 40 points and maybe heads back through that, 5,700 again.
All right. What were some hot and what were some cold sectors?
I think when you look at the sectors, I think oil is a big focus at the moment, primarily because of what's happening, obviously, in North Dakota in terms of the gas shale, where the US in itself is becoming or certainly will become one of the largest producers of the commodity. So that sector is going to be quite in focus. What it means is that oil prices over time should continue to fall. As they fall, that sector will become less profitable. So that's something we're keeping an eye on. Oil had a big move the last 2 weeks on the downside, but I think some of those geopolitical concerns that have come across, particularly over the weekend, should see some support come back into the sector.
Any patterns jumping out from the charts?
I think that they're starting to come out quite nicely. I mean, the equity markets, I think, have been consolidating nicely. I probably expect more to head back to the top end of the ranges. Let's see what Janet Yellen says, but I think leading into that, it should be quite supportive. So I really tend to like what's happening there in the equity space. When I look at the commodity front, not a lot happening. There's a little bit more focus, I guess, on what's happening in copper and iron ore, particularly with what's happening in Russia, and also some of the base metals when you look at it, particularly aluminium. And that's had a terrific run of late, but looks like it might come under pressure. So base metal sector under a little bit of pressure, oil sector under a little bit of pressure. But at the end of the day, I think it's only coming into pressure that we can buy from.
What opportunities are you looking at this week?
Well, I think the main opportunities is on the economic front. Let's see how the CPI out of the States comes out. That's on Wednesday. And I think a soft number there will reiterate what Yellen has talked about. So I think when I come from that, the areas I'm looking at will, I think, pretty much just be focused on the equity market and obviously naturally interest rates. So nothing really sticks out. But at the end of the day, I think it should be supportive of our equity portfolios.
Okay, so what advice do you have for our traders this week?
I think the symposium is a real focus for everybody because all the leaders get together. And I think, if anything, that Yellen will come out and reiterate comments on interest rates and so more particularly on employment. So I think the advice I can give is just pretty much sit solid with what you've got, trade from the long side, but be mindful on Wednesday night.
Jono Barrett, thank you as always for your time.
No problems, Caroline. Have a good day.
Just the other day, I was talking to a person who trades professionally for a billionaire. Now, that billionaire has four FX traders working for him, and he expects a minimum return of 10% per month. I know, it sounds crazy. But our show sponsors at Tradeology don't think so. To them, it's just business as usual. They've developed a brand new FX indicator, and they want to give you instant access. Just go to talkingtrading.com.au, click on their advertisement, and try it out for yourself. That's talkingtrading.com.au. Surgeons are the most highly paid professionals, and yet incredibly, 60% retire on not enough money. Leading orthopaedic surgeon and associate professor Nigel Hope is educating himself in the share market. And he joins us now to discuss the reasons why so many high-level professionals are financially illiterate and why he is personally sticking to bones and not loans. Professor Nigel Hope, hello and welcome.
Hi, Caroline.
Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem. It's a great opportunity. I hope what I say will be of some value.
So for our listeners, tell us a little bit about your background.
Look, I always say I only feel old when I look at my own CV, and I'll give you the condensed, much less soporific version. I'm an academic orthopaedic surgeon. I like sports injury treatment, and I love hip and knee surgery, and I'm actually starting a knot off myself right now.
Well, let's press on. As you say, you're an orthopaedic surgeon and you're an associate professor, and yet you are looking at educating yourself in the share market. Why?
Well, that's absolutely right. I'm definitely looking at that. Look, I've found there's three problems we have, you know, as a surgeon and as a doctor. Like, most of our time is devoted to patient care. That's one problem. We're exhaustively trained in our profession, but we've got no training at all in finances. And the third thing and the main problem is we're ruthlessly targeted by all these financial wheeler and dealers, and they want to lend us more and more money. And the problem is we tend to take it because we're really financially uneducated. We've got reliable cash flow. We're borrowing more money. We've got an illusion of wealth with a nice car and a mortgage we probably can't afford. And then you have a big wake-up call when you either look at retiring or have a divorce or get sick and you can't work. And then you've got to look at, well, what's your bottom line? What are you really worth when you subtract your borrowings from what you actually own? And you can have a real problem. It was very scary for me. I had to do this recently. After 20 years in practice, my real worth was very little. And, you know, I was getting changed for surgery the other day with a mate, and he said, "Nige, I can't understand it. I was on call on the weekend. I'm working my ass off. I looked at my bank balance. I'm paying the mortgage. There's nothing there." And, you know, I was staggered to learn at a conference just the other day about two-thirds of surgeons retire without enough money, which is pretty unbelievable.
And we're talking about surgeons who are top of the professional tree, aren't we?
Well, you know, you've certainly got a reasonable amount of cash flow, and there's kind of no excuse for retiring without enough money. And it was pretty obvious, you know, I had to take financial responsibility and put some effort into educating myself and managing my money. So I looked at various options, and I was naturally attracted to trading because I think it's got virtually endless possibilities.
Okay, so let's talk about why so many doctors are illiterate in wealth creation.
Great question. The main thing is you've got total patient focus. So all your time and energy goes into patient care, which of course is as it should be, and that's what we love doing. But we have no financial education. So all this money comes in. It seems like a good thing to do to buy this and that, and we really don't look at what we do with it. The other problem is the halo effect.
What's that?
Well, the halo effect is, you know, just because you have a level of expertise in one area, you think you've got a level of expertise in other areas. And I'm sure I could ask most of my colleagues, and you could probably ask me to give an opinion on pretty much anything, including coaching Greg Norman, and we'd give you a solid opinion based pretty much on nothing. So once we apply the halo effect to financial management, you've got a big problem because you think you're as good at managing loans as you are at managing bones.
You're implying that you're an angel?
Well, you know, I like to think so, but You know, I've been devilishly bad at money management.
All right. So do you have any advice on how high-level professionals like yourself can become less of the financial target?
Well, you know, as you know, we're time poor and cash flow rich. So that's a recipe for disaster because you have this highly geared illusion of wealth. And I think the critical point here is education. You need to get yourself educated financially. And, look, you know, it always reminds me of that Gary Larson cartoon where one deer is standing next to another deer in the forest, and one of the deer has a target on his chest like a tattoo, but it's a birthmark. And one of the deer is saying to the other one, "That's a bummer of a birthmark, Hal."
And that's how you guys feel.
Well, that's sometimes how you feel. I mean, there's the apocryphal story of an insurance salesman changing into surgical scrubs so he could be in the nurse's change room after surgery so he could target them to sell them insurance policies. And, you know, when I was an intern, I remember being targeted by several of these guys, and they basically didn't give up till you signed up to some sort of financial savings plan, and I've still got no idea what it was.
Let's talk about some of the aspects of medicine that make you open to looking at alternative sources of income like the share market.
Look, there's no doubt being in medical practice is an honour and it's a great service to the community, but it's definitely not valued at what it's really worth. When I hear what some GPs are charging for a consultation, I'm staggered because you can't make a living on that. I'm lucky I can set my fees at, you know, what I think's reasonable, but I still find myself having the "will you give me a discount" conversation relatively regularly to people with a Mercedes keyring on the desk. So, you know, I've got no problem giving back to the community. You treat religious practitioners for free. You give regularly to charity. It's all great stuff. But I think, you know, having an alternative income stream is critical because it allows you a lot of more professional freedom. And it gives you the freedom to spend as little or as much time doing the work you love rather than the work you have to do to pay the bills.
And what is it about trading that attracts you as an alternative means of income?
Well, I'm previously been in the exchanging time for money universe. So my time gets money.
Because you start at 7 o'clock a lot of mornings, don't you?
Well, yeah, when you spend a lot of time in the operating theatre and your hourly rate's reasonable, but really I'm the same as the local butcher, but my hourly rate's marginally higher and my patient survival's certainly better. But, you know, it's certainly a time for money economy. And what I need to do, I felt that previously, is that change time for money to results for money, and that's what trading does.
All right. So what have you learned from the mentor program so far?
Yeah, well, look, it's a tremendous program. It's one of the best put together educational packages I've ever come across, and as a teacher of surgery, I know a little bit about that. And the thing that it's taught me is trading wasn't what I thought it was. It's not tax lotto. There's no huge windfalls. It's a bit of a grind, and it's a you take a calculated risk, you put on your trade, you know where your stops are, and you exit the trade when they're hit. And you know, you will make a consistent income if you do the right thing and you have your written trading plan. That's really what I've learned, is that it's a meticulous science, and if you follow the steps and you do as you're told, you're going to be okay.
Have you learnt much personal development through trading so far?
Trading is the ultimate test of your own character. When you go into drawdown, you know who you are. You find out who you are. It's a bit like in surgery, when things aren't going that well, you find out how good a surgeon you are. It's the ultimate test, trading, and I think it's a great challenge, and you really, really need to know yourself to do it.
Professor Nigel Hope, it's been a delight talking with you today. Thank you for your time.
Thanks so much, Caroline.
Last week's trading trivia question was, what was the first widely owned piece of stock? And the answer is the Dutch East India Company, which was founded in 1602. It was the largest company for a couple of centuries, and it financed trade expeditions for items such as spices, silk, precious stones, and cloves. And next week's trivia question is, who said an investment in knowledge always pays the best interest? Was it A, Benjamin Franklin, B, Bernard Baruch, C, JP Morgan, or D, Warren Buffett? Find out the answer next time. Each year, the Australian Investors Association holds an annual conference where leading experts in the investing and financial industry meet. And this year, Louise Bedford caught up with renowned share trading educator and best-selling author, Mr. Colin Nicholson.
Louise Bedford here. I'm interviewing Colin Nicholson. Colin has been involved in the share trading industry. Oh, my goodness, how long for Colin?
Early to mid-80s. I remember 1985 was the first time I had some contact with Alexander Elder, for instance.
Yes.
And at that stage, I was involved in a share club and things. Yeah, so probably back early 80s, yeah.
Wow. After the 80s, so yeah. We're together at the AIA, the Australian Investors Association Conference, and Colin has just presented. Now, I know that a lot of you know about Colin's work, and in fact, many of you will have read his books, or perhaps you will be receiving his newsletter. But the thing that I want to do is to get behind the story, Colin. When you had your accident in 2006, the entire share trading community's heart went out to you. What I'd like you to do is to give our listeners a message of hope and to tell them about what happened to you and how it's changed your life.
That's a good question. That's going to be a tough one. I don't know that it did change my life that much. It upset my life, but it came back into
alignment.
Into alignment. And yeah, it was just a period of recovery, really. You know, I'd had quite a serious shock to the body. I've got a little problem with the vertebrae in my back. The other thing that's left me with is I can't smell anything. It's called anosmia.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and it's not as uncommon as you would think. I don't think he'd mind me telling you. You know Paul Ash in Melbourne.
Yeah,
Paul's another one.
Since
he was a kid at school,
that?
He
I
tells
didn't even
me
know
he.
That.
Yeah, this is, and it's surprising how many people have actually have suffered some injury. It's in this area between the eyes, in the top of your nose, and of course that's when I've sort of hit the back of the skull. It's forced the brain onto the front of it, and that's done that little bit of damage. You know, because most of the damage was at the front of the skull.
And I think that's one of the things to learn from any of the life events that can affect us is to persist and to continue on.
Yeah.
Tell us about your latest book, Colin.
The latest book is Think Like the Great Investors, and this book came out of, you know, behavioural finance work. Now, what I try to do is it's focused at investing, but it applies to the whole of your life, as I don't need to tell you, but some other people don't quite realise that those cognitive biases that are natural to all of us and we grow up with and feel perfectly right, we don't realise that they are put us in a situation where we make decisions that are at odds with the normal laws of probability. So because we do it naturally, we don't even realise we're doing it. And it's what I found was reading about the great investors was that they seemed to make counterintuitive decisions to us. And it took me, at first I thought, oh, okay, maybe they're just relentlessly logical. I should be more logical and systematic and so on. Then I realised that was not where it was at all. They were avoiding these kinds of cognitive biases. And they were doing it somewhat more naturally than we did.
What a great realization.
They got around that, you see. So I thought, well, okay, I'll write this up, how this affects investing, and then I've devised some strategies for how you might manage or avoid those biases in your investing.
And where would you suggest people get your book?
The book, they can buy it from my website.
Give us your website.
The website is bwts.com.au. Bravo Whiskey Tango Sierra.
Oh, that sounds much better, doesn't it?
bwts.com.au. Yeah. But failing that, if you can't remember that, Google Colin Nicholson and you'll find me.
Definitely. Colin, thank you so much for your time. I just want to say on behalf of all of the traders in Australia, having worked with you over the years, having spoken on your stage at the ATAA, seen the difference that your views have made to traders and investors around Australia, we do owe you a debt of gratitude. So I'm so glad to interview you on talkingtrading.com.au.
Thank you, Louise.
Louise also caught up with Donna Meadows, the coordinator for the event, to find out how the conference had gone this year and why it's such a success.
Louise Bedford here. I'm about to interview Donna Meadows. Now, Donna, you've put together an amazing conference
for the
Australian Investors Association. How do you feel it's all been going?
It has been amazing. Like, we've got over 300 delegates this year. We've got 15 wonderful sponsors. Last night we had our annual dinner that we have, and we actually did the charity auction for assistance dogs.
Oh, lovely.
I know, it was amazing. We had a dog come in and with its owner and showed us what they do. We raised over $15,000 last night for Assistance Dogs Australia, and everyone just had such a great time. The night went like a so fast.
That's
it was
fantastic.
Wonderful.
Actually, interestingly, just on the philanthropy point of view, we've actually found with our traders, the ones that give the most are the ones that actually make the most money. It's interesting to see.
It is, yes. Well, our investors are here because we're not for profit. We don't endorse anybody. We don't endorse any product. What we say is, here's the information. Here's the education. You make your own decision, but at least now you're educated and informed, so you can make your own informed decision. I tell you, the delegates this year are just going off. They're loving every minute of it.
It's
I can't believe
so
it's been
lovely.
4 days.
And one of their highlights, of course, has to be that Chris Tate is presenting.
Oh, don't you love Chris?
He's an adorable man.
He just cracks me up. I was just talking to him then, and he looks so stern. Oh, you wouldn't want to run into him. And then he smiles, and the whole... He just beams. It's just, he's great.
And he always
great.
Loves a hug from you, Donna.
Oh, dear. No, it's really good. But the speakers that we've got, like this afternoon, we've got experts on the couch and we've got Roger Montgomery and Marcus Padley.
Do you know Marcus Padley proposed to me once?
Really?
He did. We were both married at the time. So, Donna,
and that doesn't surprise me.
If people would like to find out more about the AIA, what should they do?
They can give me a call on 1300 555 061, or they can actually go to our website and have a look on www.investors@aia.com.au. Sorry, blonde moment.
Oh, Donna, it's lovely seeing you again.
It's
Thank
lovely
you
to see you,
so much
Louise.
For all of your support and for what you're doing for traders in Australia and investors, because this really is definitely something that people rely on, to have the support of people who are in the pit with you, as well as having experts come in to present. It's a beautiful thing. So thanks again, Donna.
Thanks, Louise.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. I'd like to thank our contributors, Associate Professor Nigel Hope, Colin Nicholson, Donna Meadows and Jonathan Barrett. Stay tuned next week for the Wizard of Words, Pete Godfrey, on the journey to success. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.